So last week we had Gary Gibbs with us, and he brought us a great word, didn't he? Which led us into our new sermon series called Go. Over these next few weeks, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be going. We're going to be empowering you to share the incredible news that Jesus is alive, that Jesus changes lives, that Jesus transforms, that Jesus brings freedom, that Jesus is the hope of the world. Do we believe that this morning? Do we believe that this morning? Yes, it is great news. In 1961, President John F. Kennedy took a tour of the NASA Space Center. And while he was there, he saw a man carrying a mop and a bucket. And as he approached that man, he introduced himself and he said, "What do you do here at the Space Center?" And the cleaner replied to him and said, "Well, Mr. President, I'm helping to put a man on the moon." That was a man who understood that he was part of a bigger mission. He was part of something greater. His task might have been to mop the floors, to keep the place clean, but he understood that he was part of the great mission of putting a man on the moon. But not everybody understands that they have a mission, do they? Not everybody grasps this idea of being part of something bigger. If you Google the phrase, "you only had one job," you can find some awesome examples of epic fails, of where people don't just miss the fact that they're part of something bigger, they don't even get the task that they're involved in. So, should we have a look at some examples? Let's have a look at the screen to see our first example of "you only had one job." Turn left. What's wrong with this picture? Next one. Can you see that? What's going on with that bag? Batman, Superman, which one is it? Next one. He only had one job. Do not bend the envelope. Next one. Can you see what's wrong with that picture? Where are you going to go on those stairs? Next one. I don't know if you can quite see that, but the stairs go down and the banister goes up. Not very helpful. Next one. They just didn't even care, right? Next one. Someone seriously needs to go to school. And the last one, which is my favourite. Prizes for coming first. Brilliant. You only had one job. You know, when a person understands their mission in life, it affects what they do and it affects how they do what they do. Do you know that your mission on earth affects every single part of your life? Let me put it another way. As Christians, wherever we are and whatever we're doing, we're on mission. Your life has a purpose. You're part of God's mission, which means that you have a mission on earth. And it is the most exciting and engaging and urgent and important mission of all. My sermon this morning is called Life on Mission. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Life on Mission." In order to understand what being on mission actually looks like, we need to fix our eyes on God's mission. And God's mission is to restore all things to Him, to draw us into a loving relationship with Him. He came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ so that we could know Him, so that we could see and know what His character is like. And ultimately, He came to earth to take on our sin and die and defeat death as He rose again. It's awesome news, isn't it? It's wonderful. It's the best news that we could hear. You know, at the start of His ministry on earth, Jesus declared what He was all about. He declared what this mission was. He stood up in the synagogue and He told us what His mission was. He read from this incredible passage from Isaiah 61. And it says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then He said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." That is what he's about. He is good news to the poor. He's freedom for the prisoners. He's sight for the blind. He's liberty for the oppressed. And that's what he lived out. That's what we see and we read about in the Bible. He lived that mission. The poor did indeed hear the good news. Those who were bound, they received freedom. People were restored and people were liberated. People who heard the teaching of Jesus were transformed. People who encountered him were healed. People who followed him were given new life. And then he said to his disciples, "As the Father sent me, so I am sending you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." And these disciples, and you know what? If you're a Christ follower here today, that includes you. These disciples, he sent them. He's sending us. Let's read the passage that's often referred to as the Great Commission together. Will you turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 28? And we're reading from verse 18. Matthew 28 from verse 18. It says this: "Jesus came and told his disciples, 'I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" So there it is. There's our mission, to be Jesus' witnesses. Our mission is to show people God, to demonstrate the freedom and the healing and the justice that Jesus brings. Our mission is to share Jesus, to tell people about Jesus, to make disciples. You know, that's what the first disciples did. They made disciples who made disciples who made disciples who made disciples who made disciples. That's why we're here. That's how we're here, is because someone made a disciple of us. Sometimes I think, you know, as Christians, we can forget. We can forget what it's like to not have a relationship with God. You know, for some of us, we might have been brought up in a Christian family. We might have become Christians, made that commitment very young. And so it's hard to remember, it's hard to engage with a life without God. And for others, maybe you didn't become a Christian as a child, but it's been a number of years now. And so it's kind of a hazy, blurry memory of life without God. And I get it. I get why we wouldn't want to dwell on a life without God. If we're living our lives for God, why would we want to think and spend our time thinking about life without God? But the problem is if we only focus on ourselves and we forget what life can be like without God, what life is like without God, we can miss the opportunity to share the great news. We can forget what it's like to be without the hope of eternity. We can put aside the idea of people living without truly being alive. We can push out of our minds the thought of not knowing that we're loved and we're cherished and we have an identity in Jesus. God's heart breaks for those that don't know that they're made in his image, for those that don't know that they're loved so much that they're worth dying for. For those that are battling on through life on their own, trying to carry all of their burdens completely alone, God's heart breaks for those people. So, just as we're called to be in relationship with God, with the one true living God, we're called to bring others into that relationship too, into a relationship with God. Rick Warren puts it like this: Jesus calls us not only to come to him, but to go for him. Jesus calls us to not only come to him, but to go for him. That sums up what we're made for: to love God and to love our neighbour, to be in relationship with God and to share the great news of Jesus Christ with our neighbour. So if our purpose, our mission on earth is to go and make disciples of all nations, to share and to show the love of Jesus, how come so many of us are so fearful about it? How come so many of us are restrained and restricted from doing this very mission that we're called to do? How come we can so easily fall into this trap of thinking that mission is for professional missionaries, that only specific people are called to this work, that the rest of us just need to let the likes of Jackie Pullinger and Heidi Baker just get on with it because they're doing an awesome job of sharing this amazing news. They're doing a great job, but that's their job. They're the experts in this kind of thing, not the rest of us. We're just getting on with normal life. That's not the message that we're given. That's not what Jesus said. You know, too many Christians spend too much time worrying about what other people think, worrying about being embarrassed if we say something about Jesus, fretting about being rejected if we try and share this great news. You know, worrying that we might not have the right answers when somebody asks us a question or when we're in a discussion about God. Let's have a look at that passage that we read from Matthew. Let's have a look at the words of Jesus to help us with this. In Matthew 28, in verse 18, Jesus says this: I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. That is our foundation for mission. That's our foundation for sharing the wonderful news of Jesus, that Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. So our main concern isn't about being rejected or being embarrassed or not having the right answers or being ignored. Our main concern is to follow Jesus because he already has all the authority in heaven and on earth. He has the power. He has the strength. He has the resources. He has all that we need. Jesus has the authority. Mission is joining in with what God is already doing. It's God's mission to seek and to save the lost. It's God's mission to bring justice and freedom and wholeness and life in abundance. And we're just joining in on that. That's our role, is to join in on what God is doing. Jesus said, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. And here's the crucial word. Therefore. Turn to your neighbor and say, therefore. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. Jesus has all the authority. So because of that, we need to go. So therefore, we need to go. Our going, our being sent into the world to make disciples is because of Jesus' authority. It's under Jesus' authority. We do everything because of him, not because of ourselves, not under our own strength. It's because of him. And God gives us all the resources we need for mission. We can fully rely on him. I was in the prison last Tuesday as part of our latest Alpha in prison. And we were talking about two topics. The first topic we were talking about was, how can I resist evil? Now, if you remember last Tuesday, with the 31st of October, it's Halloween. How is that for some scheduling? How can I resist evil on Halloween? And the second topic we were talking about was, does God heal today? And so after the talk, we had a time of ministry together with the guys, and I shared a few words of knowledge about what I felt God was doing in that chapel. A few words about what I felt God wanted to heal. And one of the words that I gave was about someone whose mind was clouded with a fog. I couldn't think of any other word for it, just a fog. I'm sure there's a proper term for this. I'm sure there's even a medical term. But all I can think to say is someone whose mind is clouded with a fog. And the team prayed for each person who responded to a word. And during that time of ministry, somebody came to me and said, he said, why did you use the word fog? And I said, well, I sensed that that's what God was saying. Somebody had a mind that was clouded with fog. And he said, it's weird because I've been trying to describe to my cellmate what has been going on in my mind, and the only word that I could think of saying was, it's like a fog. And then you said fog. And he said, and honestly, my first reaction, I almost shouted out, witch. She's a witch. I said, I'm so grateful you didn't do that. That probably would have changed the atmosphere in the chapel just a little bit. But he realized God was speaking personally to him. And so on Tuesday in that prison chapel, whether we were sharing words or whether we were praying for the men there, we were just following what God was doing. We were just speaking out what God was doing. We were just looking out for what he was doing amongst those men's lives. We can only join in what God is already doing. John 5:19 says this. So Jesus explained, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does." So it's not by our own strength that we show people Jesus. It's only because of him. And when Jesus tells the disciples what the mission is, what this great mission is that they're going to be part of, he gives this wonderful reassurance. He says, "And be sure of this, I am with you always." We're never on our own. We're not doing any of this on our own. Jesus' promise is that he's with us always. That is an incredible truth, isn't it? Jesus is constant. He's faithful. He's with us. He'll never leave us. There is not one situation we'll be in where we'll be left high and dry. There's not a single day that will go by when Jesus loves us a little bit less. There is nothing that we can do to separate ourselves from the love of Jesus. He's interested in everything that we're doing. So he is with us always as we go. It's awesome. So where are we to go? We're called to make disciples of all nations, but where do we start? Let's see. Norwich has a population of 213,000 people. Norfolk has a population of 859,000 people. The UK has a population of 65.6 million people. Europe has a population of 743 million people. The world has a population of 7.6 billion people. Turn to somebody next to you and say, "That's a lot of people." Estimates say that something between 31 and 34% of the world's population are Christian. So we've still got quite a lot to do, haven't we? There's still quite a few people who don't yet know the great news of Jesus. You know, we often think of mission as being something that's done over there, don't we? We think that mission is something that's done over there, preferably overseas, somewhere abroad, something that's done when we're away. And people talk about going on a mission trip or being missionaries. My sister and my brother-in-law, they live in Uganda, and they're missionaries in a Bible college there. That's what they do, they're missionaries. And that's often how we understand the term missionary, isn't it? Someone who's called to represent Christianity off in a foreign country. They're sent to show the love of Jesus somewhere else, somewhere that's not where they're from. But actually, if we look at the word missionary as a person on a mission, person who is sent, then that is all of us. That's every single one of us. We are all on a mission. We are all on mission. Say it with me. We're all on mission. We're all on mission. Our mission isn't confined to a trip or a particular event. Mission doesn't finish at the end of a two-week stint. We're always on mission. Mission is a lifestyle. So whether we're traveling overseas or whether we're here in the UK, we're on mission. Whether we're in Africa or Asia or in the UK, we're on mission. Whether we're at our place of work or we're at the hairdresser's or we're at an old people's home or in a prison or we're walking down the street or we're in a supermarket, we're on mission. Wherever we are, we're on mission. Steph Williams is the pastor of a church in Minneapolis. And she puts it like this. We need to be good news people, not just people who share the good news. We need to be good news people, not just people who share the good news. We're carriers of this good news. So that means that wherever we go and whatever we're doing, we're meant to spread the good news. We're meant to be influencing our environment wherever we are because we carry this good news. So we're not just people who only share the good news as part of a particular program or event or a particular trip or location, but instead we carry the good news into every aspect of our lives. Being good news people means that sharing the good news isn't the exception, it's the norm. It's how we live day to day. In order to be good news people and live a life on mission, we need to see opportunities. We need to see opportunities for sharing this good news. Let me tell you about my friend Don. Now, for many years, Don was homeless in London. He lived on the streets in London. And we got to know him through our church homeless drop-in. Don was a staunch atheist, and he was very, very clear in letting you know that he was an atheist. And we built up a friendship with him. We used to have him around for dinner quite regularly. We'd invite him to parties around where we lived in London. And it was reciprocal. We built a reciprocal relationship because he would come and help fix our washing machine and help us with practical jobs where we lived. Now, Don had very much decided that religion was not for him. He didn't want anything to do with religion. Yes, he would attend a church drop-in. Yes, he'd even volunteer at a church-based project. But he didn't ever want to talk about God. He didn't want, as he put it, he didn't want religion rammed down his throat. So we're never to talk about God with him. That was until we built relationship with him. By building relationship with him, it gave us the opportunity to have conversation. By him getting to know me and my flatmates, that's how an open door was made so that we could talk about Jesus. And so we had some brilliant conversations with Don about God. Some of them in the form of a debate, some of them a little bit more gentle. I remember one of the first times that I talked about God with Don, and he said this to me. He said, "Oh, no, no, you do not want to talk to me about God because I'm an atheist." But because we were in relationship, I was able to reply and say, "Don, you're exactly the person that I want to talk to about God. You know, I want to talk about God with you because I believe that God transforms lives. I believe God is amazing. I believe God loves you." And so we had great, wonderful, awesome conversations, but it was only through demonstrating Jesus' love first that we had the opportunity to then have a conversation about Jesus. You know, all too often, Christians have created a divide between what we say and what we do. I've heard people who argue that there's been too much emphasis on what we do. There's too much emphasis on this kind of social justice stuff. We need to be talking about Jesus. We need to be proclaiming the good news. We need to be telling people about Jesus. And I've heard people argue it the other way. I've heard people say, "Do you know what? There's too much talking about Jesus. There's too much proclaiming about Jesus. Why don't we actually do what we're meant to do? Why don't we actually demonstrate Jesus' love?" If we're truly going to be people of integrity, people who walk the walk and talk the talk, the answer is that life on mission has to be about what we say and about what we do. There can't be a separation. We can't decide that one is more important than the other. We have to tell people and we have to show people this wonderful news. You know, if we're going to be good news people, we can't be people who say stuff but don't live it. We can't say that Jesus is wonderful news but then complain about everything else in our lives. We can't be moaning about everything but saying, "Oh, but Jesus is great news. Believe me. Trust me." We can't declare that Jesus is the true liberator and then continue to live in the same patterns of sin again and again and again. We can't say that we believe in a generous and giving God but say, "But my stuff belongs to me. I don't want to share with you." Equally, we can't be people who try to live well and do good without ever telling people why we live in this way. You know, sometimes we tell ourselves that if we just live in a great way, somebody somewhere is going to notice at some point. Now, that is true to some extent. Christians should look different. Our lives should look different. The way we live should demonstrate what we believe. But if we never say anything about what we believe, if we wait for that, what could be an elusive day when somebody asks us, "Why do you live like that?" we might be waiting for a long time. We might be missing opportunities. Not everyone is going to ask. And even if they do, it's not always going to look like you expect. You know, it might be phrased in a different way than you'd hoped for. Yes, we're to give an answer for the hope that we have. But the question may not be, "Tell me about this Jesus you believe in." It may not be as obvious as that. It may be very different, or it may not be in the form of a question at all. Here's a question for you to ask God when you come into contact with someone who might be open to God, whether you've just met them or whether they're in your life regularly, whether you know nothing about them or whether you know everything about them. Here's the question. What aspect of the good news does this person need to hear?
What aspect of the good news does this person need to hear? Jesus is good news to the poor. He's freedom for the prisoners. He's sight for the blind. He's freedom for the oppressed. How can you help that person understand Jesus' love for them in their situation, in their life, in their circumstances? I remember a non-Christian friend of mine telling me that she was nervous about an exam. And she was due to take this exam and she was very anxious. And I had a sense from God that this was an opportunity. This was an opportunity to share Jesus with her. Now, if at that point when she said, "I'm worried about this exam," I said, "Do you know you're a sinner?" Or even if I'd said, "Do you know that Jesus could turn your world upside down?" I don't think she would have responded that well. That wasn't what she needed to hear at that point. That was truth, but that's not what she needed to hear at that point. Instead, she needed to hear another aspect of the truth. I told her, when I felt nervous about anything, I prayed. And I told her that I'd experienced the peace of God in my life. And you know what she said to me? She said, "That's what I need. I need peace. That's exactly what I need in my life." And I had the privilege of being able to pray with her on that occasion. You know, mission is something active. It's not something passive. We're to actively listen to God for opportunities. We're to actively look to God for wisdom in what to say and in what to do in situations. We have to be open to all that God wants to do around us as we carry on in our day-to-day lives. Our role as Christians is to both show and proclaim the good news. We can't show it but never talk about it. We can't show people love without saying this love comes from Jesus. But we can't talk about it without living it. We can't talk about this Jesus that we follow without being able to demonstrate the difference that he's made in our lives. This is an incredible thing that you can do for somebody else, is share this wonderful news of Jesus. And you know, sometimes we get that fear, like I was talking about not having the right answers or not knowing what to say. This is where we fully rely on the Holy Spirit. We fully rely on his wisdom, on his words, on his direction into the situation that we're in. So if we're carrying this good news, if we're walking with Jesus day to day, then opportunities could come at any time. Opportunities might be in your workplace. Opportunities might be stood at the school gates. Opportunities might be walking down the aisle of the supermarket. Opportunities might be while you're waiting for a bus. Opportunities could come at any time to share this great news of Jesus. So we need to be ready. We need to be ready to share and show this wonderful news. We need to be alert to opportunities to share wherever we go. We're not called just to be disciples. We're called to be disciple-making disciples. We're called to be disciple-making disciples. People who follow Jesus but want to bring other people into this wondrous relationship. If we truly believe that Jesus is the best news, don't we want to share that with other people? Don't we want to bring other people into this life-changing relationship too? Jesus is sending me, and he is sending you. He is sending you. He is sending every single one of you. If you call yourself a Christian, you are sent. If you call yourself a Christian, you are on mission. And he's saying to us to go. Go and make disciples. When we're in relationship with God and we join in his mission to seek and to save the lost, to restore people into a right relationship with him, the consequence of this mission is eternal. The consequence of this mission is life-changing. We've just done this series about Welcome to Eternity, talking about eternity, talking about an eternity with or without God. That's the consequence of this mission. Bringing people into a relationship with God so that they can live in eternity with him. Do you know, being able to share Jesus with somebody else is the most important thing that you will ever do in your life. It is the most incredible thing that you can do for another person. is to tell them about Jesus, is to show them that Jesus loves them, to show them that they are radically loved, that they are utterly known, that they are totally cherished by God Almighty, by the God who created the whole universe, by the God who came to earth and died for me and for you and for that person. Life on mission is what we're made for. We're built for this. So anything else is going to feel less. This isn't another task to add to your to-do list. Don't be sitting there thinking, I don't have time for this. I'm already so busy. This is a lifestyle. This is a passion. This is a way of doing day to day with Jesus, demonstrating Jesus, showing Jesus, talking about Jesus, where we're guided by the Holy Spirit, where we're living fully reliant on God, where we're so full of his love that it just spills out onto the people that we come into contact in our day-to-day lives, whether we're in relationship with them or whether we've never met them. Drawing others into that relationship, getting the privilege of being part of other people coming into a relationship with God Almighty. It's the most important mission that you can ever be part of. It is the most urgent and exciting and engaging mission that there ever was. And we get to join in on that. Are we going to be a church that makes disciples? Are we going to be disciples that make disciples? Are we going to be a church that gets to join in on God's mission to seek and to save the lost? Are we going to see people saved? Are we going to see lives transformed? Are we going to see hope restored? Are we going to see children brought up in the knowledge of God? Are we going to see marriages restored? Are we going to see addictions broken? Are we going to see depression smashed? Are we going to see people living in their purpose? Are we going to see this city transformed? Are we going to see this nation changed? Then we need to live a life on mission. We need to go, church. We need to go and make disciples of all nations. And Jesus promises he will be with us always as we do that.